Even in Rabbi Isai, one of the things which is always important, but it's become even more important presently, is tefillah. Tefillah is a very powerful tool that the Rabbeinu Shalom has given us. And it's one that we have to avail ourselves of to the greatest extent that we can. And there's an old saying that tefillah, b'li kavanah, if a person davens, if he's not focused on what he's davening, it's kuguf b'li neshama. It's like a person has physical presence, but he's lacking soul. The essence of the tefillah is kavanah. And kavanah comes in different aspects. There's a kavanah which is certainly ma'akiv, which does not allow a person to be yotzei at all, and that is leading in an awareness that we're standing in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the most elementary form of kavanah. After that, there's also a significant form of kavanah that we should have an understanding of the tefillahs that we're reciting, and we should recite them in a fashion that we are focused on each word as we recite it. This is the essence of tefillah. As Chovas HaLevavos describes, what is the philosophy of tefillah? You can ask a very simple question. If I deserve something, then the Ribbono Shel Olam will give it to me. If I don't deserve something, then I won't get it anyhow. So what does it help to ask? In the human realm, we have to ask things because we have to make those around us aware of the things that we need. How should anyone else guess what I need necessarily? Sometimes we have to express how great that need is. The person doesn't understand that. And sometimes the person doesn't want to give me what they want, and I have to cajole them to give it to me. And that may even include using such methods that teenagers are very adept at using, at getting under their parents' skin, getting on their nerves. And they say, listen, just take it and get out of here, leave me alone. But none of those things apply to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam knows what we need before we ask him. He understands the gravity of the situation. We can't get under his skin. So what's the point of tefillah altogether? If I deserve it, I'll get it. If I don't deserve it, it's not coming even after I die. So Chovas HaLevavos tells us in Shaar HaBitochon that the philosophy of tefillah is that we should come to an understanding of our total dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That everything that we have in this world, everything we want in this world, comes only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there is no other source, no other power that we can turn to that can provide us with anything. And this is the very essence of what tefillah is. So tefillah is a focus that all the basic needs that we have, the material needs, the physical needs of this world, at the chayin molim das, we should have a healthy mind, Reinov Anenu, which Rashi in the Masechet Megillah tells us that in the Golus, until Mashiach comes, we should have tranquility. If there are enemies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should keep them in check. Reinov, we ask the Hoth, certainly something that all of us can identify with presently. And Baruch Aleinu, another thing we can all identify with presently. But our Panosah comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we address all the basic physical needs of man. We address the spiritual needs of man. Hashveinu Avinu Sarasecho. We ask the Ribbono Shel Olam to help us to tshuva. Slach lanu Avinu. Yichatonu. We ask the Ribbono Shel Olam to forgive us. And then we turn our sights heaven. It's the Kabbash Shev HaGodol L'Cheir Hussein. We should see the advent of Mashiach Tzidkenu. And the Kibbutz Golias, Shiva Shaltenu, the Yerushalayim for the Binyan of the Migdash, Tzemach, the Brocha the advent of Mashiach, so we focus on all the physical and spiritual needs that we may have. And the essence of tefillah is the realization that we are dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of them. And the more deeply we understand that, then the greater our amunah. And as we grow in amunah, we rise to a new level, to a new madrega, to a level of amunah that I did not have before, a different relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in this different relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, perhaps I now merit that which I did not merit before. So three times a day, we attempt to elevate ourselves, to draw a little bit closer to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And that certainly needs focus. If we're just merely to recite the Tefillas Barut, then we miss the essence. We said the words, but we miss the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So the essence of Tefillah is the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For that, we need the kavod of a tefillah. And the Shulchan Aruch writes in that regard in that we should really have kavodah in the recitation of all the brachos in Shmona Esrei, because each one of them has a specific connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But suppose we don't have the focus to have the concentration to keep our mind on the tefillah throughout, and it's difficult to have kavon on all the brachos. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us, yichavin ba'ogos, that at the very least, we have to have kavon on the first brachos Shmona Esrei, from the Baruch until Mogen Avraham, for each word. And below the low kivin ba'ogos, and if a person did not have kavon, was not focused when he said the first bracha, so the Shulchan Aruch gives a psak which Rama tells us we don't actually follow. And that is, he tells us, "Afa bishach kivin b'chol ashor," even though we had kavanah and all the rest of the brachos, is yachsav ispalo. He has to go back and he must follow the second time. And then the Rama continues, "Ago b'ha idno in chayzur l'shviel chesur in kavanah," that we don't go back because we lack kavanah and tefillah. Rama says it's not a prayer. Why? Sh'af b'chazor, if we do go back, korohu shalo yichavim. It's most likely that the next time we also won't have kavanah. Im kein loma yachsa. So the Torah says, why should we go back again? So the first issue is to have kavanah at each and every word. One of the things that I long thought of as a means by which we could increase our focus in tefillah is from the word Atah. Every time we come to the word Atah, I found in the writings of Rav Chaim Levenstein, Atah is a very, very special word. We don't speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the third person. We speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you, as if I'm sitting across the table from you. I see all of you on Zoom. So you is a very familiar term that we use. And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam allows us in tefillah to use the term Atah. If we stop to think for a moment of the implications of that word Atah, each time we said the word Atah, on a casual conversation, as almost a casual conversation with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I could sit across the table and converse with him. And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam writes me three times a day. It's a minimum to do so. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam allows me three times a day to speak to him in this fashion. It's a phenomenal gift that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam has given us. So if we focus on the word Atah as we go through Shmona Esrei, that we make sure each time we recite the word Atah, and every bracha has to have at least the word Atah at one time, at least, minimum, some of it more than once, that will increase our focus to realization that we're talking to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, which lies at the very heart of tefillah. Now, almost one of the things that would be helpful That is, if you study really precisely the meaning, the simple meaning of Shemoneh Esrei, what the words mean, and then in a deeper sense, the implication of those words. It's beyond the scope of tonight's share, but I've commented before that the Vilna Gaon writes in the Siddur that in the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, from the beginning, we have a remez, an allusion to all the brachas in Shemoneh Esrei, from the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei until the end of Shemoneh Esrei. And as he goes through the Shemoneh Esrei, he points out what the connection to the first bracha in Shemoneh Esrei is. So, if we look at it carefully, then the first bracha in Shemoneh Esrei is sort of a general tefillah. It touches all the bases, everything that we're going to touch from the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei until the end of Shemoneh Esrei is all touched upon in the first bracha of Avos. So we can realize then why Avos is so significant. If this really has the essence of Shemoneh Esrei is distilled into this bracha according to the Rambam. And from that standpoint, we may understand something else about the tefillos of Shabbos. Why don't we recite the Bakoshes, the 13 middle brachas on Shabbos? So Tosfos in the Sechta Baruchas says, because it's a tircha, to be involved in things which affect life outside Shabbos. It's a distraction from Shabbos. It's unnecessarily bothersome. So what comes out is that we don't have the long form of the Shemoneh Esrei, but according to the Vilna Gaon, everything that a person wants, this is the essence of tefillah every day of the week, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That in the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, it is an allusion. We have alluded to all our needs. We just don't spell them out at length. But in a short version, we have touched upon all the brachas, all the way through Shemoneh Esrei, by the time we reach Magen Avraham. So it behooves us that we should spend some time understanding exactly what every word in Shemoneh Esrei means, and then in a deeper sense what the implication of those words are. It's interesting, in the writings of the Stipler, Zatzal, he brings from some of the Rishonim that there's another bracha which demands very, very great attention in Shemoneh Esrei, and that's the bracha of Maidim. The bracha of Maidim certainly cannot be recited casually. And even goes so far as to tell us that according to some Rishonim, if we failed to have Kavona in the bracha of Magen Avraham, it would suffice to have Kavona in the bracha of Maidim and Achnu Lach. Tefillah is a combination of two things. One is the acknowledgement that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in the sense that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu everything that we need. And this is the only address. But then there's something else. That something else is recognizing HaYoydecha Ofer HaYagin Amitecha. HaYoydecha Ofer is to give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that He has bestowed upon us, that He has given us. And if we analyze it carefully, then we will realize that Haidah, giving praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, exceeds in its connection even the Bakoshes, the request that we make of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Bakoshes are an abstraction. What we want is not presently here. And we turn to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in Tefillah, that we ask the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to bestow this upon us. And that's the essence of what Tefillah is. But Haidah surpasses Bakosha, because Haidah is dealing with what's concrete. What I asked for yesterday, what I wanted, what I would want, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was given to me. So I'm no longer dealing in abstractions. I'm dealing that something is very concrete. And therefore, that's a greater recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the Rakish asking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Maralban tells us at the end of Shiras Dovid, which appears in Sefer Shmuel, it appears in Tilam, the 18th Mizmor, where David HaMelech says that a praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the world. And after that, he says, Magil Yeshua's Malka was a chesed m'shicha, David Mizaro Adayla. After that, he says, I will intensify my tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Magil Yeshua's Malka, yes, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to increase the Yeshua, the salvation that I'll give to him. So why does this follow from the Hidor that he gave in the previous pasuk? In the next to last pasuk, he recites, V'shimcha Azamar, I'll sing forth the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he says, Magdil Yeshua's Malka. And the Maralban writes in a note that commensurate with the Hidor that we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this raises us up to a new pedestal upon which we can ask again from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a new level of Bakasha. Hidor raises us up to a new point of departure. And from there we can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for things which we did not previously merit. And this is a notion which is incorporated not only in the tefillah, which David HaMelech evokes at the end of Shiras Dovid, but in the Shmon Esrei that we recite each day, we have the same thing. There was a very strange aspect of the structure of Shmon Esrei, no lesser figure than Nachsam Sofer, the Chatzadik who published the Bracha, noted it. We have the introductory part of Shmon Esrei, the first three brachas. And then we have the end of Shmon Esrei. We say, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept the tefillahs if we have brought a korban. Maiden, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the final bracha that we have in Shmon Esrei? Sim Shalom. Sim Shalom is a request. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us harmony, peace, and tranquility. This is a bakosha. Should this not have been included in the section of bakoshas, in the 13 middle brachas of Shmon Esrei? Before Shomei HaTfilah, I would put it Sim Shalom, and then Shema Kolei. So why is the bracha of Sim Shalom, which is a bakosha, removed from the body of the bakoshas, from the request that we make of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's moved to the very end of Shmon Esrei? For what reason? And I think that the reason is, in consonance with the Maal, that the last Mishnah in Shas tells us that what is the greatest bracha that we need of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shalom. That in the absence of Shalom, we have no brachas. It's the very, very last Mishnah in Shas. And therefore, since this is the greatest need that the human being has, is to live in tranquility and peace and in harmony, we don't recite that bracha in the main body of the Bakoshas in Shmon Esrei. We wait until we come to Hador. We've given our Kadosh Baruch Hu praise for all that he's done for us. Now that I've reached this point, I've gone through Bakosha, the recognition of our Kadosh Baruch Hu as the sole source that can provide me with my needs. Hador, thanking our Kadosh Baruch Hu for those things which he has given. Now I've reached the ultimate level that a person could obtain in tefillah. And now I say, well, the most important thing in the world, this is the time to recite it. After I've reached the highest level of my connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I will reach in this tefillah, then I turn to Sim Shalom, Ribbono Shel Olam, is the ultimate need that I have. The need for you to give us peace and tranquility. And this comes at the very, very end of Shmon Esrei. Only at that point are we ready to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalom. This is such a profound need that we have to ask from the most advantageous point that we can achieve. This occurs at the very, very end of Tefillah. This is the teaching that the Rambam derives from Dovr HaMelech. Dovr HaMelech taught us that the ultimate platform for Tefillah is after Hayom, that we thank the HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that He's given us. So this is what we have to turn our attention to now, too. And each level of Tefillah is an endless association with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah, when he describes the preparation for Tefillah, not Tefillah itself, just the preparation for Tefillah, says in the preparation for Tefillah, a person should totally forget his physical and material needs, his material self. He's almost in a prophetic trance. Totally removed from this world, the ultimate level of preparation for Tefillah. And he's focused solely on the Ribbono Shel Olam. All he sees, the entire world, is himself standing in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he's called this Korov B'mayla Sanavua, close to the level that a Novi achieves. That's the ultimate level of preparation for Tefillah. Then comes the Tefillah itself, the ultimate connection, the fullest connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And every level of Tefillah, every aspect of Kavanah, being focused on the words, the sincerity, the feelings of dependence that we have on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Tefillah stems from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all Bracha stems from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to turn to Him in Tefillah. This is the essence of the heart of Tefillah. I always remember the Rosh Hashanah Zatzal used to refer to a Gemara in Megillah, the Fidal and the Grace. The other Gemara tells us that Yoshio wished to save the Beis Hamikdash, and he turned to Chulda Hanaviyah, that Chulda Hanaviyah should be Miss Palelas, that she should offer her tefillas to save the Beis Hamikdash. And the question is, why, the Gemara says, why didn't she turn to Yirmiyah, who was the greatest Navi of his time? And the Shah says, B'nei Hashan, Anoshim Rachmonius, as the Mefarshim explained, that the greater sense of compassion that Chulda could muster surpassed the passion and tefillah that even Yirmiyahu could have, the greatest Navi of his time. And Yirmiyahu was painfully aware and anguished by the forthcoming Korban Beis HaMikdash. It was something, the thought of it was unbearable. The pain that he had, he would cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with such depth of tefillah, realizing the tragedy that was about to befall the Jewish people. And yet Chulda Hanaviyah, because she had the compassionate nature of a mother, could surpass even Yirmiyahu in his tefillah. Rosh Hashanah said, obviously, Yirmiyahu's tefillah was very great. If you assume that Chulda would surpass him, it would be by a small amount. But her tefillah had a little bit more depth, a little bit more feeling to it, a little bit more sense of empathy with Klal Yisrael, a deeper feeling, a deeper regish. And that small amount of difference that she could muster, a little bit more regish in the tefillah, that might be the truth that it's in the Beis HaMikdash. So each madrega, each step that we take forward in the tefillah, that we focus more on the tefillah, and it's difficult, we're davening by ourselves. That's one of the reasons that I've organized a Zoom minyan in the morning with the audio, that we can daven together. It just helps on daven together to be a little bit more focused on tefillah. And you have to seize the opportunity to draw closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And especially now, there's a lesson that Esther, Hamalka, taught, which the Gemara in Megillah also articulates, which is especially relevant to this moment. The Gemara in Megillah explores the fact why Esther invited Haman to participate in the suda with Ahasuerus. What was her intention? And the Gemara outlines 9 different reasons, and Eliyahu HaNavi came and said all 9 reasons are true. She had 9 different intentions. One of those intentions, she was concerned that some of the people, amongst the Jewish people, would realize they knew who she was, and they would realize that there's a Jewish woman who's the queen. And therefore, they would feel that she would intervene on their behalf and save them from the wrath, the evil intended machinations of Haman. And she said that would be deficient. Because Baruch Hu has the Zavidas Adin, then we have to turn with our fullest heart to the Rebbeinu Shemar. So she invited Haman, that those among the Jews that knew that she was of Jewish background and were dependent upon her for their salvation, that they should say, our last hope in this world has disappeared. Esther, the Queen Esther, she's gone over to the other side. She's now buddy-buddy with Haman. And she sits and they party together with the king. And this is not, all hope is lost in this world. And therefore what? They return with the fullest heart to the Rebbeinu Shalom. The realization that no one else other than the Rebbeinu Shalom can save them. And this, in fact, brought about the Yeshua. It's brought about the salvation of Klal Yisrael. Is there anything more than this in the situation in which we find ourselves? This unprecedented plague that has come upon the world. The entire world is ground to a halt. All the technology, all the wise men, all the scientists, all the laboratories, all the universities, nobody knows what to do about it. And in fact, we're starting to realize that a lot of what was done about it, in fact, made the problem worse. More people died because of things that were done. We're starting to realize now, hindsight is 20/20, not being critical of anyone. But we realize even our attempts to try to deal with the problem, how deficient they were in many regards. So what's the answer? There is only one answer in the situation in which we find ourselves. It's voracious Bara Elohim. It's a Rabbeinu Shemar. And he's the only one that could resolve the situation for us. If we don't have medicine for it now, so we have to turn to the Rabbeinu Shalom, that the Rabbeinu Shalom should give the human beings in this world the insight, the knowledge, the understanding, how to create a medicine which will resolve the situation for us. And we had a most remarkable exchange in Eretz Yisrael a few weeks ago, before Pesach, that the Rosh Hashanah, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, not exactly renowned for being a religious figure. And he stood before a press conference and he said to the gentleman, we have to be mitpalel, we have to turn to the Rebbeinu Shalom to ask us to resolve this problem that we have. And one of the reporters of a secular bent said, what do we need tefillah for? We need the Weizmann Institute to resolve the problem for us. The great research institute in Rehovot. To which Benjamin Netanyahu answered, the Weizmann Institute are also being his follower, also Dalek. Because they realize that without the Siyata Dishmaya, they're not getting it. This is a crisis. We don't have 100 years to resolve. We don't have 5 years to resolve. We have to resolve this on a very fast track. And where do we have to turn? There's only one address. It's the Revolution of the Messiah. So this situation leads us clearly to the Rebbeinu Shalom. It leaves us no other address to turn to. So let's seize the moment, the kavanah of the tefillah, to focus on the words of the tefillah, on the regish of the tefillah, on the awareness, understanding the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to realize how dependent we are on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each aspect of our increased focus is a new level of tefillah. What do we say in Ashrei each day? Korav Hashem Lechol Korav. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is close to all those that call him. And what does David HaMelech, how does he end the pasuk? The Chol Hashem Yekru V'Emes, the one that cries out in truth. He is, with his full heart, he cries forth to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not looking anywhere else for salvation, but to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam himself. And that's what he's expressing to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. It's Tima, the Chol Hashem Yekru V'Emes. The Ramelech tells us, Kol Hashem Lechol Korav. If you cry out in this fashion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will undoubtedly be close to us. And this is what we turn to in these days. Chose this week to speak about Kavanah for Tefila, because that's really the call of the hour. It's the most important thing that we have to do, to raise our level of Tefila. Of course, we have to be involved in Talmud Torah, we have to be involved in Chesed. We hope that all of that together will be of Yeshua HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May the Rebbeinu Shel Olam bless all of us in good health, as is Hashem, protect all of us, protect Kol Achinu Bnei Yisrael in the world from this terrible blight. And those that are ill in our midst, Achinu Kol Beis Yisrael, our Sinam Vesorah Vashivyan, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, send them with a full record. And may we merit, in fact, coming together soon to be able to celebrate together. And thank the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that we have emerged in this grave crisis which has afflicted all of us. As is Hashem, I'm hopeful that the Korah, in the not distant future, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam will grant us to come back together, we'll meet again at the Reis HaKnesses, we'll celebrate together, and we'll thank the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, we'll sing words of Haidah. Thank the Rebbeinu Shel Olam for bringing us forth in these difficult times. And we shall be the night, Rabbi Yisai. And see you tomorrow, Be'ezras Hashem, on questions and answers.